Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Greetings, listener dear. We're back in our home from homes, your ear canal. But who lives in an ear canal like this? Matthew, it's over to you. Oh, it's you.
Yeah, it is. It is me. Yeah, it's not just over to me. It's me that you've said my name. But the one person we haven't mentioned yet is, of course, you, Tom. Tom,
oh,
how are you doing?
Yes, of course. But who else, Matthew, apart from you and I, lives in an ear canal like this? Matthew, I'll give you a clue. It's you.
Oh, it's me. Oh, well, it's great to be here in this ear canal. But the one person we haven't spoken about, Tom.
Oh, of course.
Tom.
I'll
give you a little clue as to his name.
Oh,
it's
yes.
You, Tom.
Oh, thank you so much. And it would be remiss of me to carry on a minute further without introducing my dear friend, who is obviously, of course, in the ear canal. It's you, Matthew. It's Matthew. It's always been you.
It's you. It's you. It's always been you. And it's always been in you. Not my words. The words of Huey from the Fun-Loving Criminals.
Sorry, what was that last bit, Huey?
Anyway, yes, stick 'em up, punks. We are the three fun-loving criminals. It's, of course, myself, Thomas, and Clarkie.
Clarkie! We kept your light under a bushel for too long.
Yes, lots of bushels in this ear canal. It's a very bizarre one.
Can you not bosh the bushel whilst you're in the listener's ear canal, please, Clarkie?
Once I boshed it, it becomes the flaming bush.
You boshed it so hard that it lit.
It's set on fire, as did my genitals.
Clarkie, please keep it clean. There's a reason we don't bring you in on these intros, mate. Because you're gonna grub up the ear canal. It's supposed to be a high class podcast here. We have to have the explicit content now.
Absolutely, and it is. It's a high class episode with a high class guest.
Yes,
isn't it?
It certainly is. It's a Beef Brothers Cold Cuts with our wonderful guest, Mr. Matt Lucas.
What a treat!
Very kind to join us over Zoom. We had a lovely chat with him.
God, we could have nattered all day, couldn't we?
He's
a lovely guy, isn't he?
He's a really,
he's
really
such
nice
a lovely guy.
He's a nice man. We had a nice time chatting to him. So enjoy that in just a second. Before all that, we should just say that if you missed the Flatshare Slamdown we did over Zoom with Sarah Pascoe, Dean Raskopoulos, and Josh Widdicombe, it is available to watch after the fact on YouTube, and you can get your tickets for watching that on Eventbrite, EventBrite, and you can search for Pappy's Flatshare.
Here's what I'd suggest.
Yes,
sit down, get yourself about 5 or 6 strong Polish lagers, and drink along with me.
Yeah, if
and
you can
by
do
the end, you'll kind of be you'll understand what it is I'm saying.
I think it's a bit like the Widnall and I drinking game. If you can drink along with Clarkie, then you'll probably be dead by the end of it, actually. But always worth a try. So get that from Eventbrite, and also, Tom, do you want to tell people about our Patreon?
Yes, of course. All the while lockdown is going on, we're putting out extra content every weekday for anybody on the $5 tier on our Patreon. So go along to Patreon, look us up, and if you go for the $5 tier, then you'll be getting extra bonus content every weekday of the week. Day.
That is a promise to you.
There's
every weekday of the
week
weekday.
About those days, I tell you that much.
That
so,
is true.
No, some days are weak, let's be honest.
What's
sign up for $5 and find out which one is the weakest.
Also, very exciting, we've got another Flatshare Slamdown live going out over Zoom. That will be on the 8th of July. And boy, oh boy, that is shaping up to be a very exciting one. So get along to Eventbrite and you can get your tickets for the 8th of July for another Flatshare Slamdown live.
Live on Zoom. Yeah, they've been really, really fun. Join us for that. That should be good fun. But the main
on
thing
Zoom,
is, yeah,
on
go
Zoom's
on.
Kind of like the DJ. It's becoming like the DJ set of its day, isn't it? It's like, you know,
live
brackets on Zoom.
Yeah, if you think, wow, I'm going to get to the Arctic Monkeys. Oh,
DJ
no,
set.
It's the bassist doing a DJ set. And he won't even play Arctic Monkeys himself because he thinks he's above it. But yeah, that's very much this. And what you'll realise as well is we don't actually do Flatshare Slamdown. The three of us just DJ.
Yeah,
but
that's right.
If you want to see Josh Whittacombe throwing some shapes, great place to go. Yeah. But as I was about to say, the main thing is...
What is the main thing? I've been dying
to know. The main thing
that.
Is, guys, enjoy this episode with Matt Lucas and we'll see you on the other side.
Well, if you got a problem, don't call it a problem. If you got a problem, call it a beef. If you got a beef, maybe we can help you. Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Hello.
Hello. How's it going?
I'm good. I've got a Cadbury's caramel egg.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, yeah. We're talking.
Yeah, so I'm going to celebrate the beginning of this podcast by eating that. Do you share the video of this podcast?
We don't, no. So you're
that's
okay.
That's a shame. No, that's a shame. Because it'd be nice to show people that I've got a pleasant egg.
Did you just have that? Did you just have that delivered to your door?
No. But it was. I keep them in the fridge. I think they're very good out of the fridge.
Oh, especially yeah. In weather like this. Mm-hmm. Really, really good, yeah.
That's yes. An argument I got into the other day. My Easter egg... not my Easter egg, my wife doesn't refrigerate.
I mean, to be fair, that's quite an adorable pet name for someone.
My Easter egg. My wife doesn't refrigerate her Easter eggs.
What?
She says it ruins the taste.
Divorce.
That's insanity, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I couldn't get my head around it.
It's the end for me.
It's the only way to eat an Easter egg is refrigerate mm-hmm. it.
That's right.
Well, you see, here's the thing, because I don't refrigerate my Easter eggs.
What? I don't refrigerate
no,
Easter
but
eggs.
What?
No, I just they just go on top of the fridge.
It's too big, I think, for the fridge.
Yeah, it's just too much space.
I definitely put chocolate in there.
You know, Easter eggs are chocolate.
Oh, what? But they're egg.
But no, I never would. And in fact, but the thing is, I've talked about this before, but I'm not an Easter egg fan.
Well,
yeah, I know this is an awful start, but I'll often have Easter eggs from the previous year.
What? When
genuinely.
What's going on? How does chocolate survive in your house? Chocolate doesn't survive in my house.
It just does. I like chocolate, but I like just like small amounts every now and then. I don't.
Does
like...
does it come out mottled?
Oh yeah. Here's the thing. I remember one evening I was thinking I'll eat a bit of Easter egg now. I'll treat myself. It was Christmas, and I went to get the Easter egg and I realised it wasn't from last year. It was from the year before, and it was just had like a kind of white mossy kind of complexion all over it. It was grim. It wasn't like it wasn't rotten, but it was inedible.
Do you know that? Sorry for talking with my mouth full.
No, that's all right. No, please.
Look, Cadbury's cream eggs are apparently. I was a Cadbury's cream egg man for 2 or 3 years, about 25 years ago, and they told me that. You know, I don't know if it's still the case, but definitely back then it was the case that they were on sale for 3 or 4 months, weren't they? They'd kind of come on sale at the beginning of January. You'd see them till about April, and then they were gone, and that it was a treat.
Yeah.
Depending, obviously, on your taste in chocolate. And apparently they were made all year round, but kept in the freezer.
What?
By Cadbury's, yeah.
So there's a factory churning out, well, there's hens, I should say, don't want to ruin the magic, churning out those chocolate eggs.
They were frozen. They were frozen.
Got to freeze your eggs. Yeah. Bloody hell.
I didn't think I was about to say I didn't think you could freeze chocolate, but of course you can. I mean... I had a Magnum last night. Of course you can freeze chocolate.
Oh, yeah. That I do like, though. Frozen chocolate. I think it's got to be either or. It's got to either be frozen and delicious or mouldering and 3 years old. Those are my two ways I'll consume chocolate.
It is an immense disappointment when, after a summer, you find some chocolate and you open it and it's got that white powdery glaze.
Yeah.
And that chalky texture. And you're like, it's not officially off. Do I eat it?
How do you
feel? Well, obviously I do, but it's
I
not
always
the same.
Do, yeah.
How do you feel about when you go to a news agent's and you buy a chocolate bar in good faith and you get it back and you realise that they have not kept this in any kind of condition? So it's sort of, it's melted and then kind of reformed into a sort of flat mm-hmm. version of the double decker.
How do I feel?
How do you feel?
I get straight on the phone to my
Thank
lawyer.
Thank you. That's what so exactly what I was
saying. I also do the same. You know, if I go into a news agent and I pick up a can of Coke and it says a single can of Coke in the fridge and it says part of a multi-pack not to be sold separately, I call my lawyer.
So, thanks very much for coming on the show, by the way.
What a treat.
It's really nice to have you.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. It's nice to be... Well, I say here. I'm just in my house, but it's still nice to be here.
It's just nice to chat, isn't it? Mm. Nice to see some faces. What kind of a person are you to live with? What kind of a flatmate are you?
I think I'm all right. I think I'm okay.
You don't sound convinced.
Well, it's hard for me to say. I think... I like to think that I'm empathetic. I like to think that I'm an articulate person. No,
yeah. An empathetic person like is just somebody speaks in little bon mots, isn't it? Just little yeah. little choice phrases.
Yeah, I'm a sort of witless Oscar Wilde. I just say things that are short, but they're not good. Yeah. I like to think I'm quite empathetic. I'm yeah. sort of on a scale of tidiness, 10 being really tidy. I'm probably a 7, so I'm all right.
That's good.
I think that's the healthy. That's the sweet spot.
Yeah,
you don't want to be too tidy.
Yeah, but Tom, you're a 4.
Yeah, I'm trying to. You know, I'll get there one day.
Yeah, you've got to have, exactly. If you're a 10, where do you go from there? But if you're, you know, if you're around the 4s, then you've got the dream of one day. Do you think this though? Like, I mean, I always sort of thought when I'm older, I'll have a house as tidy as my parents' house, and I'm older now, and it just hasn't happened.
Your parents, are they still working?
But I mean, even the house when I was growing up.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, they just kept they keep a very tidy, very neat house.
And did they have a cleaner?
No, they did it themselves.
Did your mum work?
My mum worked as well, yeah.
And your dad? So when, what, did they have friends?
No.
So I'm saying if you had friends, you wouldn't have had time to do all of that.
No, they had no social life whatsoever. That was all they did. That was
put it all into cleaning.
Put
the
it
house.
All, yeah, absolutely. Once dinner was over, and also like we did a bit of it, you know. But I don't remember. You know, I wasn't one of these kids who came home at the end of the school day and there was like a list of chores waiting for them. I didn't have that set up. Most of it was done by them. How do they do it? How do they find the time? They had 4 kids.
I tell you what, it might be the dad thing because I've started doing this that I never thought I would. Is like I potter for 15 minutes before going to bed. And I think my dad was always the last to bed. And he would just potter around the house and just put things in places.
Right.
Talk me through a potter.
Like, you know, you just stroll around and you see things and you move them to where you'd rather they go.
Pop that in the fridge.
I try and clean what you can see.
Yes. Yeah, that's great.
Nice.
So if someone came around as a guest, they would think, oh, Matt's got a nice tidy house, but actually open a drawer, look behind the fridge.
Yeah.
Grot.
Absolute grot.
No, it's not complete grot. It's mild grot.
Mild grot.
Everything's got that white flaky stuff all over it.
I tell you what though, I mean, you know, when they talk about we don't have any PPE, you know, there's things that we don't have, hand gel. I tell you what, we have not run out of dust in this country.
There's dust
everywhere. My God. Also, it's a weird thing because I'm at home more than ever, and yet I want to tidy up less than ever.
Yeah. You're making more dust. More of your...
But that's because you know no one's going to come round.
I think that's it, yeah. But I'm sure I do have a very nice lady who comes and helps clean the house, and she comes... She come twice a week for 4 hours each time, I think. And she hasn't come for 10 weeks. But when she does eventually come back in, you know, 8 years' time, I'm sure I will rush around tidying everything up before she comes so she has nothing to actually do.
Yeah, that's I had a cleaner as well. Again, she hasn't been for a while. And we talked about it before on the podcast. Diana is her name. And I would always tidy up before she came around because you don't want to... She's got to come... Like I see her often in a week. I see her more than I see anybody else apart from the people I live with. So I'd want her to think well of me. I don't want him to think, oh, what a fucking slob. I've got to go and, you know, tidy up all of his shit. I want to, you know, he keeps a nice house.
You should really flush, mate.
I do shit in the middle of the floor as well. But that's, you know, it's just a greeting, isn't it?
You've got to mark your territory.
Yeah. It's still my flat, Diana. It's still my flat. Should we crack on and read some other people's problems? Let's get into it.
You sent me an email. Let me open up my email.
Yeah, do you want to do yours first of all? Yes.
Is it an email client? Is that what it's called?
I guess
my email server. Oh,
sure.
I'm opening up mail. Let's have a look, because you sent me a mail. Would you like me to read it?
Read it away. Yes. Let's start with that one.
Shall I say that it's a beef from Fern?
Yes, please.
Via the Beef Brothers podcast, actually. I just need to tell someone this, as I can't tweet it in case my nice neighbours think it's about them. Oh, well, I shouldn't have said who it was about. Well, I shouldn't have said who it was from, sorry.
We do front names only, so there's plenty of ferns out there. There's plenty of ferns in the country. We don't know which fern this is.
It could be cotton, it could be Britain, we'll never know.
We'll never know.
There's two ferns, let's be honest, there's two ferns.
Well, she says, I just need to tell someone this, as I can't tweet it in case my nice neighbours think it's about them. Some people moved in next door who sang the Dawson's Creek theme tune through the wall loudly every day, genuinely looked into ringing the estate agents to get them booted out.
Guys.
Right. Is that...
Is it me?
Because, Clarkie, you're re-watching Dawson's Creek at the moment, aren't you?
Well, I'm not, but my partner is, and I sing along. Here's what I am absolutely baffled by. It's got a different theme tune.
Well, every day.
It had two theme
tunes.
The
first two series are this weird theme tune.
Yeah, the first series had, and only in the UK as well, not in America, had this one that was about suits of armour. Do you know that one?
Well, did they think that would appeal to the British audience?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. They thought, like,
it's all about castles and moats.
Yeah, what's love like in Britain? Well, it's suits of armour, hearts and daggers. Those were the lyrics. And then they just stuck with the, I don't want to wait for my life to be over. They put that in as the theme from series two onwards.
I've never seen it.
Have you not seen Dawson's Creek?
Well, no, because I think, was it part of T4? I think... Was, of a Sunday morning, I was never awake in time for T4. I'd usually been out on the Saturday night in the town red. So, you know, I was too busy being gay.
Too gay for Dawson's Creek.
I know, that's saying something, isn't it?
So what, from what you've kind of gleaned from popular culture, what do you know about Dawson's Creek, Matt? As someone who's never
I'll tell
seen
you what I know. I know that James Van Der Beek played the eponymous Dawson. Is that right?
It's correct.
And I saw him in another film, which I think was called The Rules of Attraction. Is that right?
Oh, that was a good film. Yeah,
the Bret Easton Ellis adaptation. I remember thinking he was tremendous in that film. What a great performance.
Yeah.
Then there was another character of a man who... does his name begin with J? And that was the one that everybody loved.
His acting name,
Joshua.
Joshua Jackson. That's right.
Right.
He played Pacey.
Double J.
He played Pacey. That was the name of the
Pacey
character.
And he was the one that everybody fancied. And then the other thing I know is that Katie Holmes was in it, I believe.
Yeah. She played Joey.
Is that right?
Yeah.
She plays Joey.
Yeah, who I met once. Yes.
Where did you meet Katie Holmes?
It was a very strange affair. I met Katie Holmes. This is very strange. So Little Britain was... We did an American series of Little Britain.
Yeah.
And it was produced by Simon Fuller, who's the guy that, you know, has looked after David Beckham and, of course, the Spice Girls and
S Club 7. Yeah, he created the Spice Girls,
He didn't create the Spice Girls, actually.
My apologies.
I think that was Chris Herbert, but he sort of really grew them and was there for their global success. And then he looks after Annie Lennox. He created American Idol. He created So You Think You Can Dance. He's actually behind that show Serengeti that was just on TV recently, the animal show. Anyway, he's a friend of mine. He's a lovely man and... very kind, very wise. And he took Little Britain to America. And we flew out to America. I think we were there working on it. We had a meeting.
And he said to me, this is mad. He said, Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes and Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith are throwing a party to welcome the Beckhams to Los Angeles, because David Beckham had just agreed a deal to play for LA Galaxy. And he said, would you like to come to this party? And I said, sure, why not? So I went to this party with my late partner, Kevin. We went to this party where DJ Jazzy Jeff did a set. And
no Fresh Prince, though, just on his own?
Well, Will Smith was there.
It was Will's party.
I can't remember if
Will Smith. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe Will Smith performed. I can't remember. Anyway, I did not meet Will Smith or Jada Pinkett Smith. I did meet... I don't know if I met David Beckham. I may have done. I met him on other occasions. Yeah. I met Victoria Beckham that night. But I met Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes. I met Katie Holmes that night. And this is what happened to me, is there was a throng of press and media and all sorts of people outside the party. And it did feel very exclusive. I mean, I was definitely the least famous person in that room. And I met a Jim Carrey that night.
Wow.
And it was very exciting. And it was just the moment when Little Britain was still really big. So Jim Carrey sort of came over and started doing Little Britain catchphrases and things like that. My mind was kind of blown. But I was introduced to Katie Holmes. And the moment that I was introduced to Katie Holmes was the exact moment that my jet lag rendered me a complete moron. And I was trying to pass some comment to her. I mean, have you ever had that? You go, you're jet lagged, you fly. I mean, I flew to Los Angeles and didn't sleep on the plane and got off the plane and sort of went through immigration and went to the hotel and showered and then went to a party. So my head was just...
Yeah, you feel like you're underwater.
Yeah, it's really weird. So I was wading through this party, as you say, and I was introduced to Katie Holmes, and I was trying to make some point to her about what a gauntlet she and Tom Cruise had had to run just getting into the party. Because I think we'd arrived at the same time as them, and they'd been jostling and there'd been all sorts of things and barriers and screaming fans and actually the paparazzi scream at you sometimes, you see. And it was just such a crazy thing that, and I'd arrived and seen that and then got into the party, and I meant to sort of sympathize, not sympathize, but say, oh, you know, I don't know how you deal with it. It's an amazing thing that you deal with. And I said something like, and it was me and Simon Fuller and her, and I said, and I think I said these words. I think I said, I just saw, and like, what I think, I don't know how, but you did. And it's such a thing. And I mean, my heart, you are, because a lot of people don't know. And then you did this, and then how, I don't know, but like when I watched it, like I always just thought, because I never knew, and then I saw it, you know? And she just said, she sort of looked at me and just went really professionally, a bit like those looks that sort of Meghan Markle gives people, sort of very, I know what you're feeling. And just sort of, she just went, I know exactly what you mean. And then she left. And then I turned to Simon Fuller and I said, I'm very jet lagged. Did that make any sense? And Simon went, no, it didn't make any sense. But that was my meeting with Katie Holmes. I had a wonderful conversation when I just picked a sort of, I presented a display of words.
How far into the sentence did you realise this is not going anywhere? This is not a sentence I can come back from. Because sometimes you get halfway through a thing like that and you think, I can maybe turn this around. But was it at the end of the sentence you realised, well, that was not...
No. I mean, it was about a quarter of the way in. But right. At that point, you think, well, I'm going to carry on talking because obviously I must turn this around. I'm here with Katie Holmes and all of this and... You know,
it's like the monkeys and the typewriters. You think at some point, if I stuff enough words in here, some sense is going to come out of this.
Yeah, it was the least sense I've ever made.
ever in my life. And I include in that those conversations that you have with people when you're a baby, when you can't yet do words. Yeah. You think you can, so you just go, like that as a baby. And then people go, oh, yes. And they pretend they know what you mean. It was basically, I was a baby at the party. It was a strange party. I don't know whether it was a party to sort of impress the Beckhams and maybe sort of open their minds to the idea of becoming Scientologists. Because I had a sense of that because obviously Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes were part of that. And I think Jazzy Jeff is. I think Will Smith is, as far as I know, but I don't know if it's been confirmed, but I think Jada Pinkett Smith is or some. I think there was a sense of, look, maybe this is something you want to be a part of.
Wowee.
I sense that because I think there were a lot of Scientologists at the party.
You probably dodged a bullet from being recruited to Scientology there. If that conversation had gone better, she would have been like, oh, this is, we'll have him as, you know, you could have been delivering those big speeches that Cruise gives, where he talks to all the...
I met him at the party and I met him again since then. He was so charming, you know, he was so lovely and sort of friendly.
Can I ask a question about, like, because, like, in my head, right, the party you've just described.
Yes.
Like, my head kind of starts to explode there. Because, like, if I go to a house party of someone who I don't know that well, like, I don't know how to function very well. Like, I normally find myself in the corner of a room or, like, going to the toilet too many times. When you're at a party where there's, like, Will Smith and Tom, like, what do you do? Do you enjoy yourself? Do you?
No, I've been to a few of those. I've been to a few. There was a moment, again, there's a moment. Somebody I was at school with went on to become incredibly successful in Hollywood. And so when I've been in, and I lived in Los Angeles for 7 years. So when I was in LA, if I went to his birthday party or his wife's birthday party, there would be all the kind of movie stars there. I don't know. I think.
Like, did you dance?
No.
Did you like have a like?
No. I think I'm also one of those people. When I go to a party, I sort of walk in and I think, I wonder if I'll be me, and that's not like, because I wonder if I'll meet people and they'll bring me out of myself in this scenario. I don't know. It's really hard to explain. But I went to
that's a perfect way to explain it.
Yeah, I went to a party. There was a guy that I dated and things hadn't quite worked out, but we remained friends. It was completely amicable. And he found a new partner who he was, you know, very enamored of. And it was around the same time that he turned 30 and he had a 30th birthday party at the partner's flat. And the partner was very well to do and had been very successful. And I went along to it. And the only person I knew at the party was the guy I had dated. And he was very keen for me to be there and very keen for me to meet his new partner. And I remember, you know, of course I went and it was very nice of him to invite me. And I'm very fond of him. And I really liked his new partner, actually. But I remember just not, because I didn't know anyone at the party. Anyone. And so I went to the toilet a lots of times. Just because I thought, I can go to the toilet. That's somewhere where I don't have to talk to someone I don't know. Which I don't mean that in a snobbish way. No. It was just, I remember being at that cut party and feeling acutely shy, actually.
I think you've absolutely nailed social anxiety. The idea that it's actually incredibly hard work sometimes. Parties are supposed to be fun, but they are actually, they feel a lot like a job sometimes when you are, like you say, putting on a character or not being able to be yourself.
Do you enjoy your own parties? Because I find my own parties are, if I throw a party, I'm sort of, I'm slightly outside of myself, making sure that I go and chat to everyone and making sure everyone's having a good time. I always used to find this, that if I had a party, whereas if I went to, if David Walliams had a party, if it was his birthday, I could go to his house. I didn't have to worry about hosting it, but but I knew I would know like 95% of the people there.
Great.
And they would be my friends as well, because, you know, we were sort of in each other's lives for so long. So those were always my favorite parties, were David's, because it was like, it was almost like my own party, because it was all the people that would come to mine, but I didn't have any of the responsibility of having to. And probably you three probably can identify when you go to each other's parties. I'm assuming you have a similar social circle.
Yeah, we really do, yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Your mate's party is always the best one to go to, your best mate's party. It's always so much better than your birthday, your mate's birthday.
Well, yeah.
Because 100%.
The other thing that happens when I have a party is there's invariably one or two people that say, oh, can I bring a friend? And then they bring their friend, and then I feel an obligation, if their friend doesn't know many people, to chat with a friend. And then I often spend the evening talking to the three people at my own party who I don't actually know.
Yeah. I think I turned 40 in February and had a big party for that. And I realized though halfway through the party that actually no one expects you to spend any amount of time with them. And that was quite freeing. So when I was when I was chatting to people and someone else would come in who I hadn't yet spoken to, I could literally go, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm going to go and chat to that person over there. And they go, of course you are. It's your birthday. It's your party. And it's the only time you can do it. You can't do that in an ordinary situation where if we're just having a conversation, I go, oh, look, this one's slightly better over there, I'm just going to go and chat to them. You can't do that. But it's the
It did hurt when you did that to me and described someone.
I shouldn't have used the phrase slightly better.
Your birthday. It's
and also, thank
that.
You for calling me slightly better, mate.
I think your own parties, what you have to do is sort of stand back, survey the room, and go, yes, not everybody hates me. These people tolerate me. And they all came to pay tribute to me. And some of them even brought me presents. And that's basically what happens if, like me, you're a bit Asperger's-y and you throw a party. And you look around and, like I say, everybody else actually has an amazing time because they just get talking to people without the pressure and blah, blah, blah.
But one of the
I used to throw really big parties. That was like my thing years ago. I was a party thrower. I used to love them. And fancy dress parties as well.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I used to throw those. They're great. The thing I love about fancy dress parties is that everyone's a star. So if you have a fancy dress party and some people come and they're quite well known, they're not necessarily the stars of the party. The star of the party at the fancy dress party is the most resourceful, inventive, fancy dress costume wearer.
You are pushing on an open door here. You absolutely are. Tom's done an entire show about fancy dress. Loves fancy dress.
We love it. But also, like you said about social anxiety, like when you go to a fancy dress party, you're something else as well. So it's like you don't feel naked going into a room of people, unless that's your costume. But like you're going in, going like, well, tonight I am this, and so it gives you something else to play
definitely.
With.
But can I ask? There's two observations I've got here. One is, some people go to a fancy dress party and then they start to sort of act like the character that they're dressed as, which is quite a weird thing. So when I had my 30th birthday, I did a Britain-themed fancy dress party, right? And my stepfather came along dressed as Boy George, but he spent the sort of whole evening going around going, oh, hello! Which isn't how Boy George even speaks.
That's not a good Boy George.
No, but he was like, well, he's going to be 89 this year and I'm 46. So he was in his early 70s and he had a whale of a time and he dressed up and he looked brilliant. I mean, it was really funny to see your 73-year-old stepfather dressed as Boy George. And he's such a lovely, sweet man anyway, you know. So yeah, walking around with this big grin. But every time I speak to him, he goes, oh, hello, oh, ducky, like that, which is very funny. The other observation about fancy dress is that when I was a kid, Halloween was about dressing up as ghosts and witches and wizards. But at some point, I feel like in the last decade, Halloween has just become fancy dress. Am I right? Yeah. Certainly in America. And fancy, I feel like, no, you've got to be scary at Halloween. And now people, you go, who are you going as at Halloween? And they go, I'm going as Garfield the cat. Yeah. And I say, well, you mean you're going as a kind of Garfield the cat?
A zombie Garfield,
possessed. Yeah, or Garfield the cat that was run over by a car or ravaged by a fox or something.
Baked into a lasagna.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm just going as Garfield the cat. I'm just going as, Metal Mickey. Obviously, no one's doing Metal Mickey.
And it's normally sexy as well. That's the thing. It's like, yes, people try and look sexy, and you go, well, it's not scary being sexy. You look great. You've got to be scary. You've got to be horrible.
I know. So that's the same thing, isn't it? I'm going as a playgirl, a Playboy bunny or whatever. And I say, what, one of the ones that was murdered? No.
Yeah. I said, if you're going to come as a schoolgirl, come as one that's gone missing.
Right, exactly. Can you hear, are you getting any residual noise from outside? Because there's children in a paddling pool outside. Can you hear it?
No,
can,
I can't hear that.
Can you just put your head out the window and shout at them, tell them to stop?
Yes, I'll say, how dare you? Well, actually, I should do, because I actually don't really like people enjoying themselves that aren't me. I've never liked it. Well, I'm a terrible misanthrope. And when I walk around, you know, like you're walking around on a summer's day and you sort of see people in a park just having a nice time, I'm like, fuck those people.
You must be loving...
Shame we didn't get to go to one of your parties.
No, I'm like, fuck those people. I have not engineered this fun. How dare they have it? You know.
Well, this is a perfect time for you then to go to a park and be angry at people. It's like that you're allowed now. It's
I should do. I should go at the park with a loud hailer. Shouldn't I? Just send people home.
Tomatoes. It's tomatoes.
Well, I've got to listen to what the baked potatoes say.
It's very true. That's it. Very, very true.
You see?
Have we got any... Have we even come close to solving Fern's beef? I don't think we have.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
I feel like...
No. 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 Dawson's Creek. Well, I don't know enough about the show. What do you do? I think I used to, when I was at the house I grew up in, we had very nice neighbours, lovely. But he would learn the guitar. There was a teenage boy in the room next door to mine, not in my house, but we're, you know, a semi-detached house. So in the room on, you know, next to mine, as it were. And he would play Cavatina. He would be learning Cavatina by John Williams. You know, it's the music from The Gallery in Take Heart.
Oh, yeah,
And I think it's from The Deer Hunter. I think it's that. Dill, 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 dill. Sorry, my singing voice is not very good today. But he would play that. He would only play that, and he would always play that.
That's like the soundtrack to your youth.
Yeah, that song, yeah. He'd play it very well, but I mean, that is all he would play. Yeah.
It's quite emotional to have that constantly going on in the background in your formative years.
Yes, yeah, I mean, it reminds me of my childhood whenever I hear that. Also, because The Gallery on Take Heart was something that, it was like a kind of interactive part of the show, because you could watch The Gallery where they would just show different pieces of art that people had sent in, and you could go, good, rubbish, it's, oh, I could do better than that, amazing. And you could sort of do a commentary from home.
When I would watch that, I would be consumed by total jealousy that I hadn't, I mean, I'd never sent anything into a TV show, but I was just furious that someone else had.
I was the same.
I've not drawn
How
anything.
How dare those bastards be in the Pink Windmill show? I hate it. Basically, it's an extension of my misanthropy. It's misanthropy? Is that right? Misanthropism?
Misanthropy.
Misanthropy. It's an extension of that.
I think very quickly that Fern should join in the singing.
Join in. I'll tell you what you should do is Dawson's Creek was part of T4, yeah? Is that right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think what you do is you respond. The minute they stop, you blast, you get some archive recordings of other T4 shows.
What about Jonathan Creek? Get the Jonathan Creek soundtrack.
Fight Creek go with Creek.
Go Creek for Creek.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you'll be up the creek. Ha, 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 ha. That's a really good idea with Jonathan Creek. Yeah, yeah, but you blast that at the same time or immediately afterwards, would you say, Tom?
Maybe immediately afterwards, go creek for creek, just as a return. And then they'll probably get it. What was the Jonathan
Creek
song?
Well, this is what I'm thinking.
Down, da-da-da.
Oh, God.
As well, wasn't it? It was the, yeah.
Really poignant start to this, quite an irreverent show.
The good thing about that is as well, because I've been doing a lot of Zoom quizzes recently, and guess the 90s TV theme tune is a really great one. You know, you give someone the big break theme, not the big break theme, it's got lyrics, but like the Noel's House Party theme tune or the Animal Hospital theme tune or one of those, and they cannot recognise it. It's brilliant. It's fantastic. And so they'll have the same thing. You'll play the Jonathan Creek theme tune and they'll be like, what's that? I know it. Is it Countryfile?
No one, recognises Animal Hospital. That's what I've found.
No. Well, it's, you know, yeah, it's fallen out of favour a little bit.
I'll tell you what, there's good ones to play. There's The Cook Report. I often play that one in quizzes.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
To people. That gets people. And then sometimes just stick in Jeremy Kyle and people just, they don't know it. They know it, but they don't know it. Even though it's on all the time, you just suddenly... There's some theme tunes that just don't register. They're not warming, hearty pieces of music. So they just sort of exist.
Like the show itself. Yeah.
I love that we sound like DJs discussing a set. Like, you know, when I'm doing my Zoom quiz, I just bang in the Jeremy Kyle. People go mental. Yeah. They don't know, but they're getting it. And then I follow it with a Cook Report, and it goes off.
What are great TV themes to play that when you play them, you'll really enjoy them yourselves? I would say Around the World with Willie Fogg is such a great,
such a good sing along.
80 days around the world, find a pot of gold. Absolute banger.
It's so beautiful, isn't it?
It's really...
That's great. We had that on vinyl.
The Littlest Did Hobo you? Always... Yeah. Sorry.
The Littlest Hobo is a cracker.
Makes me cry.
As well.
Makes me cry still.
Littlest Hobo.
You hear that and it just... I remember watching The Littlest Hobo. It's the first time I understood the expression to have a lump in your throat, because I genuinely had sort of like a pain.
But that was The Littlest Homo.
Oh, that's right.
Hey-o!
But yeah, a sad theme tune is The Littlest Hobo. What are the other?
Beautiful.
Gladiators, by the way. If you ever want to put something onto a gym playlist, my wife has turned me onto this. Put the Gladiators theme tune onto your running playlist, and boomf, off you go.
I know you say that, but what's the gym?
Ah, good point. The gym's the name of The Littlest Homo.
I've now eaten so much in lockdown that I can't even fit on a Zoom call.
We can't see you anymore. That's what I was going to say.
I literally just fill your field of vision. You can't see anything else.
This is why we have to do audio only.
What else is a good one to really work out to? Baywatch has got a good kind of workout vibe to it.
Yes, it does, yeah.
Yeah.
I tell you, another one that sort of I love. Do you remember the Raccoons?
Yes, that's very good.
I was going to say that.
Opening theme is fantastic, brilliant. But closing theme, the Run With Us. Do you remember that? Run With Us, we have everything you need. What a banger.
DuckTales.
DuckTales is a strong one.
What's the worst TV theme to work out to? I reckon Last of the Summer Wine.
It's the worst, but the most accurate.
Yeah, exactly. It's the most appropriate, isn't it? Yeah, definitely.
Just hobbling along on a treadmill.
It's that or Steptoe and Son.
That treadmill's not even on yet.
Steptoe and Son would be good.
Coronation Street would be quite hard to get pumping to.
Yeah, it's so slow. Coronation Street, I pop that on. I pop Coronation Street and EastEnders for the cool down bit.
I tell you what would be great on the treadmill with the Bill. Because you'd really feel like you're walking at pace to catch a criminal.
Yes.
And it climax. There's a big climax at the end of that, isn't there? It's a really.
Yeah, in the bill, what would a shoplifter in the bill be stealing? That you probably, it'd be something that you can't really get anymore. What's a really 80s thing?
A fax machine.
Yes. And a telex, yeah. So a Filofax. They'd be in W.H. Smith being... stealing Filofax papers.
Nick, in a fun fact.
This is your workout video. You need to do this, Matt. TV themes workout with Matt Lucas.
Yeah, exactly. What the right themes to work out to and the wrong ones. Yeah, it's a good idea.
Yeah.
Finish off casualty.
So do we have any other... what happens now? Are there more emails read out? I feel like I keep changing the subject. I'm not being helpful.
Ordinarily, we read about four, but
I don't think... There's no rush. We don't have to.
We don't have to, no. But shall we... So we've solved... We can say beef solved to Fern.
Yeah.
Beef from the sorting out your beef!
Beef solved!
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love.
Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at UH1.com.
I like this. Mark writes via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Get in touch. Hello, my flatmate keeps putting the mugs and glasses the wrong way up in the cupboard. Well,
already,
what's the wrong way
already
up?
Match
I believe there. They should...
I have strong feelings on this.
I believe they should sit in the cupboard the way that they would sit usually and not upside down.
Correct.
He puts them upside down with the rim on the wood.
Right, if you do that, your drink will taste off cupboard.
Yeah.
Exactly.
100%.
Exactly.
Cupboard.
Sometimes people have those kind of like meshes they put down in the in their cupboards so it's not actually on the cupboard.
Well, it'll taste
itself,
a mesh
but
then.
Still.
It'll taste, look,
exactly.
What it's you want it to mesh. Taste it's of is nothing except for drink. That's all you want. You want to taste of the drink you're drinking. You don't want
to. I've
have...
always wanted to do a comedy sketch where it's just me. Somebody rings the doorbell and I open the door and I say, I'm sorry, please excuse the mesh. And then there's a giant mesh that we get tangled up in. Sorry. But anyway, that was just because you mentioned the mesh. I have to say, I think that is fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
That you what you've done there is given yourself now. Firstly, you took them out of the dishwasher. You had to turn them upside down sort of to shake them off. Mm-hmm. And now you've now given yourself extra work. You pull them out of the cupboard. You've got to turn them upside down.
You're going to give yourself RSI, basically, aren't you?
Yes, deservedly so.
Also, if they've gone in ever so slightly damp, then when you come to them, they've got like a steam in there. There's
absolutely. If
there's things growing in it.
So what's the thought behind it then? What's the thought behind it? Why do people go for it? There's got to be a school of thought that means that's best, right?
I feel as though it comes from putting it on a drain board upside down. They go like, oh, it's because if it is a bit wet, the water runs out. But obviously,
into your cupboard.
I just think the thought behind it is that there are people in this world who shouldn't be in this world.
Thank you so much. Because they don't do it. They don't do it with bowls.
People are enjoying themselves.
Yeah, enjoying themselves. Or put the mugs upside down. You know,
you're not welcome here.
Well, I must say that is akin, and I'm sure you've discussed this before, to putting the toilet roll on the wrong way so that it's at the back rather than at the front.
Yeah, it's madness.
You know what I'm talking about.
Of course, yeah.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Can a loo roll go on the wrong way?
Yes, a loo roll can go on the wrong way. If you put the loo roll on the loo roll holder and you're pulling it towards you, but you have to pull it from underneath because it goes down the back, that's the wrong way. You want to be able to snap it off. Say why?
can't you snap it off if it's at the back?
You can, but it's just slightly harder.
Further to travel as well. Further for the hand to travel.
You have less accuracy when you have less accuracy when ripping off the last sheet that you need.
And also, I guess you're putting your hand on a sheet that you're not necessarily ripping off.
Well, I think what happens is you go to grab the sheet at the back, and then as you do that, you just slightly lift the toilet roll and it comes off the holder a bit sometimes.
Right, right. Parry's trying to... You're doing a sort of hand mime here to try to work this out yourself. Is this,
I quite fancy it at the back. I think if it's more welcoming.
Well, I fancy it at the back, but
hello. I think aesthetically it seems quite pleasing at the back.
No,
it looks wrong.
Oh, every hotel you go into, it's at the front, and if you go into a really pretentious hotel, and I include the Marriotts in this, they do a somebody's done a little sort of thing with the end paper where they've
a corner
sort of folded
fold,
it into
it,
a present or something. Yeah. I don't know, corner fold, yeah.
As if
it's a napkin in a glass at Christmas dinner.
So like at the Tom Cruise party, for example, you're telling me the toilet roll's at the front.
Well, definitely. Actually, no. What they had at the Tom Cruise party, because it was Hollywood, they had just small boys on their knees who would blow who would blow on your anus.
Right, yes.
After
yes,
you'd been
okay.
to the toilet. So that you didn't actually need. They were like a sort of, you know, those Japanese toilets, little bidets. They would like, you'd have yeah. a human version of that because it's Hollywood.
Boy days.
Boy days.
I thank you for boy days.
They were over the age of 18, okay, guys?
Sure, that's still young. That's still young.
It was a different time. Hey, you know when you met Tom Cruise, did he say, you know... You know when you met Tom Cruise, did he say your name back to you loads? Because that's the chat that everyone always says about
Tom
Cruise.
I met him twice. He was extremely friendly. He also spoke with passion about Little Britain, which was very charming of him. Yeah, and I met him the second time. I was in a box at LA Galaxy. I was in David Beckham's box at LA Galaxy, and I was sat in the seat behind Tom Cruise, and he was, again, really cordial. He was really gracious with fans who wanted photographs and autographs. He had time for absolutely everyone. He was consummate pro. And it was, you know, it was amazing to see that. Obviously, someone like Tom Cruise is never going to be able to sign and shake the hands of absolutely everybody who wants, you know, to shake his hand. But he damn well did as much as he could. And he was very charming. And...
Did you get a photo with him?
Like, no.
Yeah, I was going to say, like...
I don't think I did because I always feel like...
Exactly, yeah.
He's not good enough to have one with me. No, I always feel like... joking. I always feel like... No, I felt like it would be an imposition to ask. Or maybe I didn't even think about it. Maybe I just... I don't know. No, because he's out there. He's just enjoying the football.
That's it. Yeah, I know. But it's that thing, isn't it, of going like... I always think, like, retrospectively in those situations, you go, you never want to be the person who's asking for a photo. But then afterwards, you kind of go, it would be nice to have a photo.
No, but actually, what I knew was, I didn't need to, actually, thinking about it, because I could see there were loads of paparazzi filming us for the entirety of the match. And what I do know was that there were loads of photographs in the papers of, like, literally Tom Cruise and me sat in the seat behind him. And there's photos where I'm, like, talking to him and he's, like, really laughing at something I'm saying.
Oh, God, that's great.
And, like, I remember it being in the Daily Mail and the comments were like, the fuck is Matt Lucas doing there? Fury. Like, fury. Absolute fury. Like, how disgusted people were that I was there.
But you
angry.
Know what? You know what rage that is, don't you? That's the same rage that we used to have watching the Heartbeat Gallery. That's all it is.
They just want to be
that's galleries. All it is.
Well, I tell you, it's the same rage I get when I see people enjoying themselves.
Yeah, that's all it is. Yeah. That's all it is.
It's envy rage. It's
misanthropy.
Yeah.
I suppose that is that's the good thing about going hanging out with Tom Cruise. It's a little bit like
hanging out with Tom Cruise. I mean, it was literally it's two times in my life. I mean,
spending a moment though with Tom Cruise is the chances are that somebody's taking the photograph anyway. So it's a bit like being on a log flume. All you've got to do at the end of it, there's a photograph there waiting for you.
Just make sure you're looking good the whole time.
Exactly. That's all you've got to think of. Just look.
Tell me this, right? You know, if you go to a theme park in America.
Yeah.
You go to Disneyland, Universal. When you arrive, literally just when you've shown your ticket at the gate or bought your ticket and you walk in, there's always someone with a nice camera who wants to take a photo of you in the park.
Yeah.
And you see people having those photos taken. Like, I mean, not to be mean, but I was like, why don't you just give someone your camera phone and ask them to take a photo or give them your camera? I'm always amazed that there's still an industry and people paying $30 for someone to just take a photo of them in Disneyland. It's not like it's a photo of them with Mickey Mouse.
People like those cardboard sleeves, though.
Oh, they
really
do.
Nice, those cardboard sleeves.
Here's they the thing, do, and I think actually you're right, because often they print something on the corner of the photograph, don't they?
They do, yeah. So, exactly. So you know it's a fish. Here's the thing, though, as well with those. Often, if you go to like a tourist attraction, they will take a photograph before you get to, like, if you go to the Shard, for example, they'll take a photo of you downstairs, like on the ground floor of the Shard, on a green screen with the Shard behind you.
Really?
Yeah. What? And then you can buy that afterwards, and you go, well, no, I'm about to go up the fucking Shard. Why do I not get the, you know, there's so many. My wife and I went on a holiday around New Zealand. We went to loads of like places like the Waitomo Caves and stuff. And we were about to go inside the caves and like, no photography in the caves, but we'll take your photograph and superimpose it onto five different versions of the cave that we've taken ourselves. And then we'll charge you $20. Of course, we bought it because it was so funny. But, you know, like stupid photographs. And it's the same photo. They didn't even ask. There was one that were like, okay, look up this time as if you're being, you know, as if you're wowed by the caves. Yeah. So we've not yet seen the caves yet. So we've got to imagine what we're going to feel once we get into the caves and be like, ah. And then they sell you the photo back.
My wife and I did that for our whole honeymoon.
Did you?
We just told people we went to New Zealand. But really, we just had a photo shoot down the road in Croydon behind a green screen.
You've just given me a green screen flashback, which is so horrific.
yes.
Which is basically when I was about 13, 14, there was this really brilliant museum at the South Bank in London, which was only there for probably 5 or 6 years.
I know, yeah,
called
yeah.
The Museum of the Moving Image, MoMA.
Yeah, MoMA. I went there all the time. Fantastic.
Yeah, it was absolutely brilliant. They'd have dedicated exhibitions. There was the Muppets, yes. And they had like one of Charlie Chaplin's original canes. I think they had Oliver Hardy's bowler hat, and it was absolutely brilliant. But they was very keen, and this is what, late 80s. To do some kind of interactivity. And I remember one of the things they did was you could do a split screen interview with Barry Norman, supposedly on the set of film Devil May Cry, and where you'd sit in this booth and then Barry would ask you questions and leave gaps and you'd answer them. And so I went in there and being about 13 and thinking, oh yeah, I'm going to be a comedian one day. I gave like really rude answers. My grandma took me and I gave like really rude, like really kind of really like unfunny, rude answers that you do when you're like 13 and sort of, you know, going, I'm Barry Norman, what's your problem? And just doing things like that, thinking it was really funny, right? But what happened was I came out of there and thinking it was just sort of amusing myself, right? And there was a whole group of people and they'd been watching it on a monitor.
Oh, wow.
While I was doing it. And they all just looked at me like I was so... They were really disappointed in me. You know when a teacher says, I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed, right?
Yeah.
They looked at me. And then Grandma said, oh, I think you should see it. Like that. Like she was angry with me. And she wanted to teach me a lesson, which I think was the right thing to do. And so I stood there and like a new crowd gathered. And I had to stand there and squirm while they played the whole sort of 2-minute bit again on the monitor of me just being the most horrible child. It was awful. But the other brilliant thing that happened in there was that in the Museum of the Moving Image, they'd have actors, sort of out of work theatre actors, being characters and interacting with you. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
so they'd have somebody who was working in the cinema foyer of a movie in 1939 and they'd pretend to be them. And they had this Russian train carriage in which they were showing Eisenstein silent films. And this actor was pretending to be like a Russian train guard. And he tried to usher us into the carriage to watch some Eisenstein. And my grandmother, she went, come along, we are not being ordered around by a Russian. She still didn't quite realise that it wasn't...
It's a 19-year-old kid who's just out of, you know, just out of drama school who wants to make it in the business.
I know. But also, I remember around the same time walking along with my grandmother and there was a play on at the Lyric Theatre at the time called Burn This, which starred John Malkovich. And this sign said, Burn This Lyric Theatre. And my grandmother saw it and went, well, that is terrible. That's a lovely theatre. Why do they want to do that? Yeah.
So
anyway, these stories go nowhere, and I'm terribly sorry.
Oh, absolutely love it.
Always that was my green screen hell.
Always entertaining. Have we? I mean, basically, what we need to say to Mark is just play your flatmate this, you know, pre anecdotes, obviously, but the stuff. I mean, it's clear you don't. I mean, I don't even. It's one of those things where I can't get my head around why someone would do it. You don't do it with plates. You don't do it with cutlery. You don't do it with bowls. Why is it happening to mugs? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, you don't do it. You never put a vase back in the cupboard upside down, do you?
Exactly. No.
Bowls. You can't. No. You're basically trapping air. You're putting old air into your into a mug.
Yeah.
You're drinking stale air. It's disgusting.
Drinking stale air. He died of stale air. It's sad. Sounds like that. Sounds like something you'd see on a gravestone in a churchyard, and somebody in 1742 died of stale air.
Yeah.
Taken by stale air.
Yeah, or it's like Jonathan. It's an episode of Jonathan Creek.
He died.
Well, I do. What else do we put upside down? You don't put. Yeah, I mean, I can't.
I've got a solution. Right. I've got a solution. Right. So get one of those vaping things. Right. Go along. Go to the cupboard at night and vape into each one of the
good.
Mugs.
That's great. Right.
So when you say the next vaping, morning, when you say vaping things, do you mean vape?
Yeah, there you go. That's it. So vape into each one of the mugs at night, and then when he gets up in the morning and goes for a mug, he'll get to actually see the stale air. Buy like one of those rancid vape flavours. Don't get like a nice one. You don't need to go like, oh, blueberry.
Can you buy rancid vape flavours?
There must be a market for it, right? Because, you know, like you used to have those gobstoppers that were like, this is going to blow your, you know, like your mind.
Do you know what? I think you're right. I think you can. And I think not only can you buy rancid, intentionally rancid vape flavors, you can buy intentionally rancid vape flavors that were intentionally created for stale air to be blown into cupboards to teach neighbors who put glasses upside down a lesson. I think it's called cupboard poo.
There you go.
Get yourself a vial of cupboard poo. Exactly.
Yeah.
If you can't, you know, if you don't want it, if your local vape shop is closed, I imagine quite a lot of them are at the moment, then just fart into the mugs. I know it's a bit grim. It's a bit gross, but
that's really gross.
Nature's vape.
Can I just say, you're farting into the mugs, your argument about putting them upside down is really kind of been blown out the water.
Okay.
Because you've kind of just added insult to injury there.
Take one of the mugs, make that your mug, keep that in your room, keep that, you know, wash that up yourself.
Right way up, you'll know which one
right
it is.
Right way up, keep that in your room, have that as your mug, fart in all the other mugs.
The logistics of getting the mug from your arse to the cupboard with the fart still in it.
Oh, no, you've got to stand on the ledge and fart
this
into the cupboard and catch it.
This is a health and safety
well,
nightmare.
All right, you know,
just, you different just, strokes, all, different folks. All you need is a coaster.
Exactly. Fart. Use a coaster. That's exactly right, Clarkie. You fart.
Use a coaster.
You trap it with a coaster like a spider. Then you release it onto the shelf of the. Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah, but then you're.
Everyone's going to be doing it.
All right. Here's a question. We're all saying that the flatmate is wrong in putting the glasses upside down.
We're all saying it. Yeah.
Why do we think the flatmate is doing it?
So. To give them the benefit of the doubt, what if there's like some kind of leak in the cupboard or some, you know, fly? They can't.
There's a fly
you know,
in
like,
the cupboard. The fly just fly out.
No, but if there's a fly in the cupboard, it can't shit in the mug, can it? If it's
maybe
upside down.
Maybe they think that the inside of the cup will become dusty or something if it's left in a cupboard, and so they're protecting the inside of the mug.
How long are you leaving it in the cupboard? Just get fewer mugs then.
Bring up a point, which is during the pandemic, I am loading and unloading that washing machine every day. So those mugs don't even stay in the cupboard very long right now.
Exactly. Yeah. You're going fresh mug for every new cup of tea or whatever it is. Why wouldn't you? Yeah. I don't think it makes, even when we try and give them the benefit of the doubt, it still makes fuck all sense. I think the guy's a lunatic, and quite frankly, I don't want to hear any more about it.
I think we've been trolled, and I think this whole message was just an exercise in shit stirring.
Yeah, and you know what?
Which, by the way, is what you do after you've pulled out a fart mug.
It's a massive exercise in mug farting, and we need to draw a line under it.
You know what, Mark? We're calling this beef solved.
Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Beef solved.
Clarkie, you have to go, don't you? So we should.
I'm afraid.
We should wrap this up. Matt, it's been so lovely having you on the show. Thank you so much. It's been a total pleasure.
Thank you. I feel like I do most days during lockdown, which is I didn't really get much done, and I'm so sorry. But we did talk a lot. I feel like we didn't get through enough beefs. and I feel very bad.
We filled a podcast, and that's all that counts.
That's all that matters.
In this lockdown, it's just important that we keep podcasting. The beef solving is very much plan B. Plan A is just constantly talk and put it out there, guys. Put it out there. Thank you so much. And
what a treat, Matt. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. I usually would say it's nice to get out of the house, but I mean, that didn't happen.
Go and jump in the paddling pool with the kids. Bomb in.
Yes, they'll love that if I do that. Hello, neighbours. You have a fat man in your pool now.
Well, there you go. What a treat that was. Thank you for joining us, listener dear. It is always a pleasure to be within your ear canal.
Yes, and it's always a pleasure to have you there, Tom. Always a pleasure. Oh, yeah.
And I tell you who else it's a real pleasure to have there. My friend, my colleague, it's you, Matthew. It's always been you.
Thank you so much. And can I just say, running around robbing banks, all whacked up on Scooby Snacks, it's got to be you, Tom.
It was me all along. It was me all along. This episode was produced by you, Matthew. It's produced by you. It's always by me. Produced by you.
Caution me, I guess.
Caution you. It was produced by Emma. Caution, of course.
Caution team.
If you enjoyed the show, leave a review on iTunes. Recommend it to a friend. Hop along the Patreon community.
If you know what that means, then please do it. Guys, hop along the Patreon community. Guys, the other place you can hop, hop along our Twitter at Pappy's Tweet, hop along our Instagram at Pappy's Comedy, you know, and of course, hop along Eventbrite and see if you can get tickets for the next Flatshare Slamdown on July the 8th. Just basically, hop along.
Cheers, everyone.
Bye.
Okay. Okay. All right. Can we please be upstanding? Okay. Please be upstanding. Okay. For the Patreon Neighborhood Watch. Okay. Roll call. Okay.
Okay.
Enough of that. That one.
Let's pipe down now.
Off you go.
All right. Well, I was with this bloke the other day.
Enough of that.
You know, we stopped for a brewski, and you're not going to believe who it was. It was Stefan Gajewski, of course.
Okay, pipe down. Can we pipe down, please?
Enough of that. I went out with someone the other day, actually.
Enough of that. I gotta tell you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, calm down.
I can tell you, he's no fool.
Is he no fool?
Matthew Poole.
Jesus Christ. That's too much, guys, honestly. Can we cut it out, please?
Okay, all right, please.
I need to get home. I've got a project going on in my bold loft. I've got to get back to my project.
Your bold loft.
Yes, I'm making my loft bold with my friend Matt Holdcroft.
Okay, all right. That's enough of that. You've let yourself down there, but
Pipe down, if you will, if you must.
Listen, all of this is actually starting to get my nerves a little bit, you know. It's starting to make me feel a little bit anxious. It's starting to make me feel a little bit crazy.
Pipe down.
Need to have a little relaxing chat with my friend, Faye Blasey.
Okay, calm it down. That's enough of that. I see what you were doing there now.
Yes, all right.
Everyone does need to calm down now. Because I hate to say this, but someone's been playing around with my sparring.
Pipe it down, guys.
Who's been playing around with my sparring?
I think we know who it is.
It's Mike Warren.
Okay, Mike, put the sparring down. Hey, do me a favour, okay, stop messing around, pick up that jelly bean, toss it in my gobson. Throw it over there, we all know who sat there 3 days ago and let out a fucking fart. It was Steph Robson. Okay.
Steph.
Okay. Enough of that, Steph.
3 days ago, still around.
Still stinks.
Okay.
Fucking hell. Okay.
Oh, I can barely contain my sporran over here.
Pipe it down. Oh, he's returned it, has he? He's returned your sporran.
Oh, he's given it back, but I tell you what he did in it 4 days ago, it doesn't
pipe
play
Pipe down!
All right, guys. Now, listen, just pipe down, guys. Seriously. Seriously, enough of that. Seriously. Okay. Enough of that, guys.
Okay, do a little bit of fun,
enough,
okay?
Enough of that. Now, listen, the other day, this bloke, right? Awful gentleman.
Did he pipe down?
I tried to tell him to pipe down. He actually wrote me a screed on a bit of old parchment.
Oh no!
Yeah.
Something called for.
Yeah, he got his branding. He got his branding seal out, and he took a number two. I don't want to say. He took a number two on the parchment and then used the branding seal to sort of make an insignia on it. It was, he said, there's your parchment. It's been shit sealed.
I thought that is classic Carl Whitfield.
That is classic Carl Whitfield.
He branded the parchment.
He absolutely shit sealed it.
Oh my God.
Everyone needs to pipe down right now because this has been going on too much. It's been going on too much. We all know what's going on here.
Okay.
It's been too much, okay?
Okay.
Pipe down.
Okay.
It's like this. It's like this every day. It's like this every goddamn day, you guys. Just pipe down. We've been getting it in the neck daily.
Daily, pipe down.
Pipe down, guys.
Okay.
And I tell you who's the real problem. It's Simon Bailey.
Oh, it absolutely is. Well, can you all just pipe down?
Pipe down.
Well, listen. They asked me to name names.
Oh, yeah.
They came to me. They said, will you name names? Okay. I said no. I will not name names. I absolutely refuse. But then I thought about it.
They tried to make you name names. You said no.
They tried to make me name names and I said no. I absolutely refuse. And then I said, go on then, I'll give you one. It's David Hughes. Pipe down, okay. His chest. Oh God, undo his top button, because that concludes today's Neighbourhood Watch. Oh, Patreon roll call, pipe down, everybody.
I'm a star man waiting in the sky.
Oh, no, undo his top button.
Pipe down. I'm a black star. John, I'm only dancing.
Dance, magic dance. Give me a liver and onion pie.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.